talk about it today because we have some special guests here in studio. Some of what I like to call the young guns running for the House. We've got Dave Piggott, HD 33, which is my district. And then we have Justin Everett, HD 22, who, you know, he's got to walk. I'm just kidding.
I wouldn't say that.
I was completely kidding. So welcome to the show, guys.
One thing I got to say, Dave, we're going to start this off with you because you are in Jason's district. So, you know, I just get the feeling he's going to be watching you and he's got a microphone. Dude, be afraid.
Jason? Well, on behalf of House District 33, to all Coloradans, I'd like to say I'm sorry, but we love Jason. one of Broomfield's finest residents.
You're really reaching on that.
You guys talk when you're talking about. Yeah, I'm actually texting with somebody who just had some specific words about me. So we'll see how that works out. But guys, look at this. We've got a big. This is a big deal coming up here. Right now, Republicans control the House by one seat, 33-32.
That's right.
HD 33 has to be protected. HD 22 better be won. You two are, you know, the conservative guys. I mean, you're coming up with this. We need to win those two seats. And I know a lot of Republicans won't love hearing this, but get good, solid conservative folks in there.
Well, absolutely. And we've talked about this before, and you know this as well as anybody, Jason. We say 33 is 33. And the reason that we say that is because if you work your way down the list and you look at, you know, what's competitive out there, who's got the best shot at winning, we know that the 33rd district is that 33rd seat we need to hold a majority. Don Beasley did it in 2010. We're going to do it again this year. It's absolutely crucial. We've seen historically what happens when the Democrats get control of the governor's mansion and both houses of the legislature. Frankly, it's not good for anybody.
Well, no, and it's always a train wreck. It's always really, really bad. What is the makeup of HD 33?
Yeah, it's competitive, no doubt about it. We have among active voters, we've got 34% Republican, 31% Democrat, and the balance is unaffiliated. And that's based on the June 30th numbers out of the Secretary of State's office. So it is absolutely winnable. We just can't lose it.
So you definitely have your work cut out for you.
Absolutely, and we're putting the work in. I mean, we're out there 5 days a week, pounding on doors, talking to voters, making sure that they know what's at stake and they know what we stand for.
And may I just say, you can tell I actually stand behind this candidate because my son was his security detail. I believe this was a week ago.
That's right, Sheriff CT.
Yeah, my boy was out walking with him. He'd go to every door. He had the best time ever. I'm not kidding. I we're creating a monster here.
Man, I was actually going to say I actually feel sorry for you, Dave. I mean, whenever I'm around this kid, he's crawling on my head. You know, he's crawling on my shoulders, and he is extremely active.
Well, I tell you, he not only was he my security detail, but he was tactically correct. Anytime you have a stack, whether it be two, three, or four men, the last guy in the stack always has rear security, so you're always back to back, and you're watching the corner. And Jason, I got to give credit here to you. He knew to watch the corner. It was really impressive.
He's a good kid, and the fact that you actually kept him entertained for a few hours, I appreciate it. That's all I can say because he's a handful for me. So let's jump over to Justin here. Tell us about HD 22.
HD 22 is a little less competitive. We have about a plus 14 Republican registration advantage. So we're in a pretty good position, and, you know, I'm here. I want to help people like Dave. He's in a much more competitive district. In fact, Dave, how can people get a hold of you if they want to help you out in your campaign?
Yeah, the easiest way is the website, www.davepiggott.com. That's spelled DAVEPIGOTT.com, one G, two Ts. And once you're there, the world opens up to you. You can volunteer. You can donate. There's an email address. There's a phone number. You can call me right now, as a matter of fact.
Well, and let's be sure that you actually do the donations correctly, because we wouldn't want to be like your competitor who had a few, let's just say, minor issues with donations.
Well, yeah, I'd prefer to focus on my own fundraising rather than hers, but that's true. Make sure when you're donating that you're including your employer in the memo line. That's an important thing to do. If you don't, we will give you a call and we will ask you. Well, so what do you work for?
The employer like MoveOn.org or, you know, Acorn or
prominent donors of the Dave Piggott
like
campaign.
That. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm sure you're getting a lot of those, right?
You know, whatever it takes.
I've got to admit, there's somebody down the street from my house, and you guys will find this interesting. You will be walking in my neighborhood.
We were this week.
Did you happen to see the house with the Obama sign right on the front door? Huge. I'm starting to pay attention to this. I think there's like 6 or 7 18 to 22 year olds all living in this house that was rentable just a few months ago. And I'm kind of wondering if they're not paid campaign employees coming in and taking over Broomfield. You remember how all the stories they'd have where people registering to vote the last second, moving into the area. They were doing it in Michigan and Wisconsin. It was kind of interesting.
Or maybe they were just voters that need to be educated. I mean, what's great about Dave is that, you know, sort of that young gun contingent. He's somebody with a similar face that they are, you know, similar experiences where he can go in and talk to them about why you're a conservative and why you're a Republican.
Absolutely.
And it's converting the masses, and I think that's very important. We're seeing a new face of the Republican Party, sort of. We hear about that youth vote, and we do see a youth movement in the Republican Party. And a lot of our candidates, Dave, I believe you're 31. We have Dan Nordberg out of Colorado Springs. Is 29. We have Owen Hill, who I believe is also 29. So we have a lot of younger people that are pursuing office, and they're going to be in good. They're in good Republican seats. So we're going to see them in there next year, you know, barring some catastrophe.
Well, Justin, you and I aren't going to talk about our age, but you are listening to Grassroots Radio. We do have in studio with us Justin Everett, who is a candidate for HD 22. Dave Pickett, who is a candidate for HD 33. And we're going to be talking about a lot of different things. So let's get back to it. What is the major difference between you and your opponent, Dave?
Wow. Where to begin? I would start with a basic assessment of human nature. I trust people. I believe that people are inherently good. I believe that if government gets out of the way, people are going to go forward. They're going to do good things. They're going to raise their families right. They're going to build businesses. They're going to build communities. They're going to create value that can be exchanged, that basic building block of our economic engine that drives everything forward. I trust people to do that. I think they're going to do great things. She thinks people need to be compelled to do things. She thinks that people aren't going to do the right thing unless government steps in there and tells them what the right thing is. And I think you can take it in a million different directions from there, but it's that fundamental belief that I think distinguishes her from me and in just about every stance we take on various issues.
Well, let's put it this way. Anybody who follows us knows we're big fans of Colorado Peak Politics and Compass Colorado. They both came out with a story earlier this year naming the 12 biggest tax hikers in Colorado. Diane Primavera is not even in the House, and they named her as one of the 12. I mean, that's got to tell you something.
There may have been some...
the ripple effect from when she was in there.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. She is coming back and running in the district. I mean, one of the problems I have with people are career politicians who just want to keep doing the same thing, doing the same thing, doing the same thing. Well, guess what? She's a career politician.
Well, they like to collect that government check. They like to mooch off our tax dollars.
A net tax receiver. Diane Primavera. Yep, that might be one of those.
Yeah, it seems like we just took a couple of those out in the primaries that were actually Republicans net that still like the big government type of philosophy. But now the primaries are over. Now it is the main event. We are going after progressives and progressives only.
That's right. And, you know, it's funny you talk about the Dirty Dozen and those things that she supported that did lead to her making that list. I wrote a letter to the editor in the Broomfield Enterprise. You can access it through my Facebook site, Pigot for Colorado, the number 4, Colorado. Facebook, pointing out that the Supreme Court just said a tax is a tax is a tax. If it walks like a tax and talks like a tax, it's a tax. You can call it a fee. You can call it a surcharge. It's still a tax. In Colorado, the only way you can impose a tax is a vote of the people. And yet we've had legislators who have tried to circumvent that constitutional amendment by calling a tax something else. Well, now we know you can't do that anymore. And legislators really need to start being honest with people about what they're doing.
Well, when you talk about FASTER and different legislation like that, that is a direct violation of TABOR, which is a Taxpayer Bill of Rights. And that was some of the most unique crafty corruption I've ever seen in my life. You are listening to Grassroots Radio. We have Justin Everett and Dave Pickett in studio with us. We'll be right back.
We're
that
back.
Beautiful Charlie.
Music.
I love
terrible
it.
Music.
I love it. Oh, that's terrific.
Oh, sorry. I had to throw up my mouth.
Hey, man.
If it wasn't for the Ramones, half the music you listen to wouldn't be.
I'm just absolutely true.
That is
so
absolutely
easy.
True. Keith, you're welcome. Thank you, Charlie. Appreciate it.
Welcome back, Grassroots Radio Colorado. No, this is not the music critique hour. This is actually Grassroots Radio Colorado. We are sitting here. Justin Everett, candidate, HD 22. Dave Pigott, candidate, HD 33, and babysitter to my son occasionally.
Only when they're out walking districts, and
he's out walking districts.
When Dave's out walking districts, and CT needs to buff up and play security guard, then he hangs out with Dave.
It's an exchange of value. I get a volunteer, right. You get a well-deserved afternoon off.
Thank you. Yes, I do appreciate that. So let's talk a little bit more. One of the biggest challenges in any election is resources.
Absolutely.
You need people, time, treasure, talent. I mean, that's what you need, time, treasure, and talent. If you're listening to this, if you're listening to our show, you probably want a Republican House in Colorado. You want it. You have to have it, because otherwise you're going to get steamrolled by the Democrats. We've proven that. So time, treasure, talent.
Absolutely. And I gave my website out earlier. Once again, it's davepigott.com, DAVEPIGOTT.com. Right there on the front page, big old donate button. There's also a volunteer link at the top. It all takes you to the same place. You can put in your information, let us know what you want to do. There's 20 or 30 different ways that you can help. You can put up a sign. You can help put up 4x8 signs. You can donate. You can make calls. You can walk neighborhoods. You can write postcards. There's tons of ways to help. You can also donate. That treasure is very important. And I'll talk about more of that in a minute. But it's a PayPal link, and any amount, $1, you can donate 1 cent. Every little bit helps, up to 400.
May I ask you a question? And that is important.
Yes,
the limit,
sir.
The limit is $400 per individual, 800 per household, right? Or per couple?
Per couple. Couple. The vision there is the dual checking account. If you and Liz are both on the same account, you can write it out to 800.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
Does your opponent know that?
we're trying to be nice today. Let me
stones.
Well, actually, they've kept me pretty well handicapped. Usually, I'm the hammer, and they where do I want to go there? We don't want to go there. And I'm like, it's so easy. Come on, guys.
Have you, Dave Pigott, taken a dime of union money?
No.
Justin Everett, taking a dime of union money?
Well, considering I was planning on running to Right to Work and eliminating collective bargaining in the state of Colorado, probably not something that, you know.
So you're not getting much love from the unions?
No,
huh?
Strangely enough.
I just can't imagine how either of you would not be getting just all the love in the world from the unions in the state of Colorado. Because after all, I mean, if we don't have the proper people in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, we're never going to get para reform. And, I mean, Walker Stapleton has been going nuts on that issue forever, trying to get some para reform in the state of Colorado. We're going to have some good people. And one thing that I wanted to bring up real quick, and Dave, I think you had mentioned this, or Justin, maybe it was you. We have a brand-new crop of candidates coming in both the Senate and in the House. That's going to make a huge difference. So not only do we have to protect the House and our one-vote majority there, but we have to win back the Senate.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, please.
Absolutely. I believe the number is 33. We're going to see 33 new faces in the legislature next year. And that is a huge turnover. I mean, and it's very important that we do get the right people in. And as you said earlier, Ken, you know, we had a pretty good day on June 26th in the primaries.
We did.
So I think, you know, I feel that we are going to keep the House. You know, I pray that we're going to keep the House. And I think we're going to take a large step to the right, which is going to benefit the state of Colorado, whether it's economically or on liberty. And you guys know where I am on liberty and the Constitution. So it was a good day for Colorado, and I think we're going the right direction. But, you know, it does, and it takes those resources, and we're going to let Dave plug himself again, because it's those $5, $10, $15, $20 contributions. I know a lot of you out there are struggling, but you can maximize your vote, or even donating an hour of time to one of our campaigns. Obviously, Dave needs a little more help than I do. But it's hugely important, and that one-vote majority makes a huge difference. I mean, we're able to block a lot of crazy legislation. Our party's able to block a lot of crazy legislation in the last 2 years.
You know, absolutely. And I can't emphasize enough how much even the smallest donation helps. Because not only does it add up over time, but it also shows support. It demonstrates how many people out there care about the cause that we're fighting for. They care about the vision of Colorado that we all share. They care about our commitment to the Constitution and Republican values. And the more people that are willing to go onto that website, davepigott.com, 1G2Ts, you know, the better off we're going to be. You know, $5, $10, $25, you know, it's all going to help.
Oh, there's no question. This is one of those things that we have to get at. You got to have the resources. You got to be out there earning the resources. I will tell you right now, your opponent is going to be well-funded by the unions. As a matter of fact, I believe she was in the top five at Colorado Peak Politics their analysis where they looked at how much the unions are spending, and that's the early money.
Yeah, and that did not even take into account the teachers' unions yet. They had not been accounted for. That money is going to be huge.
And when the Liberals passed Amendment 27, and they already had the mechanism built in to where they have that inherent advantage with the unions, with membership and so on and so forth. Small donor committee is where she's going to start getting those $4,200, $4,300 checks. And that's a huge clip when people can only max out to you at 400. So, you know, Dave needs the money, and, you know, sooner than later, it's better if you bank that money early so you have the resources and you can have your plan ready for October and November when the rubber hits the road.
Absolutely. Well, you know, in our race, in House District 33, and I say this time and time again, people are looking for an alternative. I'm a new candidate in the district. My opponent has run for this 5 times now. People are tired. They want an alternative. And what this race will ultimately come down to is who can define me as a candidate first. Is it me defining myself, or is it her defining me as something less desirable than her? So we need those funds to get out and make those defining messages.
Well, what you had said, Dave, in the last segment was absolutely beautiful, and I think it bears repeating. The basic bottom line difference between the two of you?
The fact that I believe in people. I see people as inherently good, and I believe that if government gets out of the way, people are going to do great things. They're going to improve their lives. They're going to raise their families. They're going to build their communities. They're going to create value. They're going to exchange value, and it's that mutual exchange of value that's the fundamental building block of our economic engine. And if you just let people do what they do, they want to create value. They want to provide good things for their neighbors, for their community, for their town, for their state, for their country. They want to do this. Just let them get to work.
Well, I don't know if you have your phone sitting right next to you, but you showed me kind of an interesting email, and you don't have to read the whole email.
Oh, yeah.
But you got an interesting email this last weekend, and I think it's important. We'll give you a chance to find it. But Dave's out there reaching out. The big thing is, no matter what, money doesn't vote. We know it can give you resources. It can help you define your image. That's great. But actually getting out there, talking to the people who are going to vote for you is a big deal.
And you've got two basic competing philosophies right now. And I believe that humans, in their DNA, yearn to be free and to be left alone. We are not slaves. We are not meant to be slaves, to be ruled by some other human. That's just not who we are. That's not what we are.
Yeah, I mean, I always say on the campaign trail that, you know, I believe that conservative values are true American values. You know, we get labeled as, you know, these crazy Tea Party people, but these are, in fact, American values, and we should never be afraid to defend these American values. We just have to make our message, you know, known and let people know what we actually stand for. Because once we start talking about the Constitution, oh, this is what's really in the Constitution. Oh, wait, this is a roadmap for government. Then people start coming to our side, and I think they naturally come to our side.
And you found the email.
I did. I found an email here on my phone, and I'm going to kind of abridge this as I go. But I think it's important, and it shows the good work that we as candidates are doing out there. And it says, Mr. Pigott, you came to my house a few weeks ago, and I was wrapped up in the last few minutes of my movie that I must apologize for not listening to what you had to say. I must first thank you for your service to our country and protecting our freedoms in America, referring to my service. I was in the Army for 5.5 years. She says, I'm a conservative Democrat. And I am disturbed by the party's damage they are doing to our country and to see our freedoms being whittled away. I've gone to your webpage and listened to your webcast. I believe Colorado has not been hurt as much as other places, and I think that Bloomfield's doing okay as well. But my husband's a small business owner. Both of my daughters are in college, and we're fighting to keep them out of student debt. She said, I have to say, I follow the government and parties from a national level, but don't know enough about what goes on in our own state. Shame on me. Thank you for making me realize this, and it's with great faith in the younger generation, candidates like yourself, that are going to keep our country on the right track. I will vote Republican this year.
Yep. Amen.
Well, you know, you've even got guys like Dick Morris. He is a conservative Democrat, yet the party has been hijacked by the progressive left, the complete wacko ideologues, the MoveOn.orgs, the Acorn people.
Environmentalists.
The environmentalists, you bet. I mean, it's not even recognizable to solid Democrats. It's just not. So these people have no place else to go. If we can, like you had said first, Dave, if we can define the message and allow you to define who you are as an individual and as a candidate and get that message out, because let's face it, Republicans are not that great at messaging. But if you can do it and if you can define it, you'll win.
And let's not say Republicans are not that. Let's say the Republican Party not good, because I know plenty. I mean, Don Beasley was very good at messaging. He knew what he believed in, who he was. That's why he won that district. You have the same challenge.
Absolutely. But, you know, we can. And it's about treating people as individuals. I think when you start taking the 50,000-foot view of a political landscape, you start trying to group people into categories. You say, oh, well, they're unaffiliated voters or they're rich voters, right? And you lose sight of the fact that people are individuals, and they're really smart. They know what's going on. You can't fool them with a generic message. You've got to get face-to-face, and you've got to say, hey, this is who I am, and this is what I stand for. And when you do that, they listen.
Dave Piggott, give out your website one more time.
DavePiggott.com, DavePiggott.com.
Justin Everett.
EverettForColorado.com with four spelled out, F-O-R.
Two of the young gun candidates here for the Republicans in Colorado. I have a feeling we will be hearing a lot from them in the future. We'll be right back.
I'm going to let that play for a minute. There you go. A little Dead Kennedys to get us started. I thank you, Charlie. And I know Keith is
when
happy.
When it started, I thought it was the Foo Fighters.
And I know that Representative Holbert is also out there, because I've been getting text messages from him telling us how great the bumper music is today. So I really appreciate that. You are listening to Grassroots Radio. In studio, we have Dave Piggott, who is a candidate in House District 33. We also have Justin Everett, who is a candidate for House District 22.
And we were going to let him go, but right when we went to break, we had a caller and said, hey, he wanted to ask the guys a question. So Phil from Brighton, come on in. What you got for us?
And Phil, please identify who you want to answer the question.
Well, I want this to both candidates, and this really goes to the entire Republican Party. I think it's great that we've got a lot of, you know, quote, young guns coming into the party. But what I'm finding out is there are a bunch of social liberals. So the question is are both of you going to go in there and support domestic partners like Kevin Priola did?
Justin, go ahead.
No, I mean, I'm across the board conservative. I mean, I'm pro-life. I believe in traditional marriage. I mean, that's just one of those firm beliefs I have. I mean, you know, with marriage, this is a perfect example when government gets involved in something that had always been the domain of the church or what have you and just mucks it up. So this is your classic government mucking it up situation. I can't answer for Dave, but...
Yeah, well, I think, you know, those are very important issues, but I think they can also tend to be a sideshow that distract us from really important issues like getting our economy back on track, rebuilding our education system, you know, talking about our energy future. Yeah, these are the issues that I'm fighting for right now. Now, I'm a practicing Catholic. You know, I believe in the values of my church, and I believe in family values. But these are not going to be the cornerstone of my platform, because I look out at Colorado right now and I see a lot of people hurting. I see, you know, questions over what people are going to do, you know, when they're laid off. I see, you know, who are going to create the jobs that are going to give these people the money they need to put food on the table. You know, these are the things that I'm fighting for.
Phil, did that answer your question?
Well, one thing that you have to look at, I know that the economy is a big issue right now, but you realize what's going to happen in Colorado if we go forward with this domestic partner stuff. You're going to create a whole new category of beneficiaries, especially under PERA, and it's already going bankrupt. I would love to see it reformed. It ought to go to a defined contribution system. But if you go and create a whole new breed of or group of people that are going to be using PERA benefits, you're going to bankrupt it all the faster. That's why you have to stand firm with traditional marriage.
Phil, and I got to admit, I've never thought about that angle to it. It is interesting. I do have to say that the way things are going in the private sector, you're going to have there in the private sector, most companies, the company I work for, is now recognizing domestic partnerships. At some point, legally, it's going to happen. Now, you know I'm a social conservative too, but I'm going to have to agree with Dave on this one. This isn't a battle that I'm really that interested in fighting right now. I think right now the first thing is get the socialism out. Let's stop these social experiments in general, which may include some of what you're talking about. But first, let's get back on a solid footing. Let's get education fixed. Let's get PERA in general fixed. Let's get this economy fixed and get regulation out of the way of small business owners.
No, absolutely, and it's funny that you bring up para. And again, that's an interesting take on it. The real problem with para, though, and I've said this on this show before, it's the guaranteed return. As long as you promise a better return on investment than you can possibly deliver, or that we've historically ever seen, you're going to have a bankrupt system eventually.
Para is one of my biggest pet peeves because I'm a finance guy. I mean, that's my background, and it is one of my biggest. I mean, that faster. There's a lot of them, but para is fixable. All we have to do is have the guts and the intestinal fortitude to step up to the plate. And like you had said, it has to be a defined contribution plan as opposed to a defined benefit plan. It is just nuts. You are listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado. We have in studio with us Dave Pickett, candidate for House District 33, and Justin Everett, candidate for House District 22. And we just had a caller on the line that asked us about that. And, you know, para is a fixable. It's a train wreck headed this way, but
you could solve it by making it,
it's
whether you
solve.
Had domestic partnerships legal or not, you could fix it by making a defined contribution plan. It would be over tomorrow.
Yeah, you bet.
Raise the retirement age. I mean, closer to Social Security. You know,
let's make it 2 years past Social Security. Like, I'm sorry, my dad's past the age of Social Security. Guess what? He's working. I'm sorry, 65 doesn't cut it anymore.
Or have government employees contribute more of their salary. We're in a lot of situations. It's all of our taxpayer dollars going to prop up PERA. You know, I live in Jefferson County, so you know you've had Regan Benson on enough times, and then she's talked about PERA and how much we backfill on PERA in Jefferson County for our teachers and so on and so forth.
Well, how many states across the United States right now are in financial jeopardy because of defined benefit pension plans? California's taken a header. I mean, we've got cities in California going bankrupt. I think there's three of them now, maybe four. I mean, it's happening all across the country, and it's for the same reason. All we have to do is pull our heads out of our backsides, and we can solve the problem.
Oh, well, the biggest problem, of course, is healthcare in general, in the constantly spiraling costs. Until you address the quantity of health services in the system, so basic supply and demand are going to tell you the price is going to go up.
Well, and I just, here's a question from a listener just came in. Would you both vote to repeal SB 200?
Yes.
I don't know.
Really?
Before the Affordable Care Act decision came down, I would have said absolutely. Why would you implement a potentially unconstitutional scheme? Now, we've got the Affordable Care Act. We've got we have this requirement to. Oh, you guys want to jump in on it?
Let me explain why we have to get rid of it. Because
all right,
number one, what it does is it will force us to take those Medicare dollars from. Through the healthcare exchanges, and we only get funding on that, full funding for the first, it's either 2 or 4 years, and then it drops exponentially each year after that, which is going to take all of our budget.
Oh, wait a minute. You want to talk about the exchange, or you want to talk about the Medicare expansion?
It's both.
It's both.
That's
it's
Medicare. Both. The Medicare exchange, expansion is done through the healthcare exchanges.
The exchange,
that's the point.
The exchange is the vehicle that the federal government will use to implement Obamacare in the states. Now, there are those states that have not implemented exchanges. Those states still have the ability to fight back against Obamacare. We have lost that ability because of SB 200.
Thank you, Amy Stevens.
And, you know, the state legislatures are becoming more and more important because we're seeing a huge pushback against the federal government from the state legislatures, where we know it's not going to be a top-down change. It's got to be a bottom-up, grassroots radio type change. So by obligating ourselves to the healthcare exchange like 13 other states did, I mean, it puts Colorado in a huge pickle that we need to solve this pickle sooner than later, especially when these things start coming down the pike in 2014.
Except that if we didn't have our own free market exchange and we had to deal with the federal mandated exchange.
On that. It's not, but it's, you don't, first off, the states don't have to accept it because of that decision. Second, it's not a free market exchange. The government controls it.
Yeah,
it's not free market. You can't say a government set up and run exchange is free market.
It's the antithesis of free market.
I'm not calling it. I didn't say it was free market. I said it had free market elements built into it, as opposed to what you might see if the federal government, Department of Health and Human Services, comes in and mandates.
But now they don't. They can't do that now. They cannot do that.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I know there's a lawsuit going up.
No, that's what the decision said. It was 7-2 that they can't do that. So that one's done. So we need. I mean, we'll talk more about that off air. I'll get all over you with that.
Where's that woodshed?
And that's fun though. But here's the thing. That's why we as Republicans. That's why number one, we're here on the radio. Our job is to make sure people, because we go and look into this stuff closely. That's what we. Ken spent half the day today at the Independence Institute. Yes.
Actually, no. Today I did not make it down to the
event. Oh, okay. Well, usually you do.
Typically on a given Monday, I've got two different private meetings that I do on Mondays at the Independence Institute, and today I just unfortunately was not able to get down there. They're just meetings are coming too fast, too many for me to attend them all, so I did not make it down today.
But that's where, I mean, we go to these free market guys. We go to Dave Cope. It's Copel. I'm not going to pronounce his last name. I'm not going to do it. It's Copel. John Caldera works with us. Amy Oliver works with us on this stuff. We know we're talking about, and thankfully,
you've got to remember
we have the most well-informed candidates because he's going to be
He's going to be very well-informed. But
you got a constituent right here.
You know, I actually worked with a group of legislatures on the legislation to repeal SB 200 that Senator Tim Neville, actually floated. I testified in front of the Senate Betty Boyd's. God, that was fun. In front of Betty Boyd's Senate committee hearing I was testifying for the repeal of SB 200. I wrote the resolution that we pounded through the assembly to repeal SB 200. And guess what? 85% of the Republicans in the state of Colorado that were at that assembly voted to repeal SB 200 because it's bad law. It is horrible law. It's 17 or 13 pages. I can't remember. All it does is three things. It sets up the exchange, sets up the board,
and
funds
spends
itself.
A boatload of money, $24 million dollars at the minimum here in Colorado.
And it funds itself. That's it. The rest they are making up as they go along, and they are following the Obama legislation to a T.
I just got a listener. This is a text from that same listener and said, please let's have the intestinal fortitude. He used a different shorter four-letter word starting with B, ending with L, to say no to the feds. So
yeah, that's what we got to do. I mean, that's exactly what we got.
And I'm pretty sure you know his wife. So,
oh yeah, great. I can hear about that.
It's from somebody in the Springs. No, it's from somebody in the Springs whose wife you know. So sorry, I can tease you about that.
I'm a states' rights guy, and prior to the Supreme Court's decision upholding the act, I would have said there's no way that we as a state level should be taking steps to implement an unconstitutional measure, and I still think that the individual mandate is unconstitutional. I'll argue with Justice Roberts all day on that. But given the fact that it is there, I think SB 200 creates a bit of a prophylactic measure that prevents the federal government from exerting more autonomy over the state than it otherwise would if we didn't have it.
You are listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado. Ken and Jason, we have had Justin Everett, and we've had Dave Pickett. Dave, give us that website one more time.
DavePigott.com, DavePigott.com. Although, you know, now all the SB 200, you know, people are going to be like,
we'll do some convincing on this. Don't worry. We'll have another meeting.